Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Ted Santos, and it is Tuesday, and I am doing a Straight Talk special. Welcome, Ted Santos, Straight Talk. We are the talk show that is made for men by men. Not even ladies want to miss our show. We are having a special, and we are going to be talking about something that at some point everyone engages in. Yeah. Give me a second. You know, we're Straight Talk. We talk about life, love, relationships, social challenges, business, money. And tonight, we're going to bring a few things. We're going to bring together some social challenge. We're going to bring together money. And we're going to bring together relationships. We're going to wrap this up all into one. And we're going to talk about dating. And we are going to talk about who pays. Who pays? Who should be paying? We're in the 21st century, right? Isn't that what the ladies tell us? Get with it, man. It's the 21st century. Well, here we are, 21st century. And men are still paying for dates. Men are still acting like they're from the 1950s And that is what women expect. Men have all the 1950s responsibilities, and women have these new made-up responsibilities, and men are not even sure what that means, what it looks like. What's going on, Tony G? Good to see you in the house, man. Yeah, good, man. Yep, this would be a perfect driving conversation. And in a few minutes, I'm going to have someone join me. You guys have seen him before. He's Cash. He goes by the Fix for New York. And we are going to talk about, should men pay for dates? Now, I usually have a subtitle, and the subtitle, should dating rituals change, or should we go back to the old school? And I'll talk to you about exactly what I'm saying when I say that. What's going on, PJ? I see you across the pond. Yeah, I get that. That's what whoever pays, right? Well, women generally don't ask men to go on dates. And that way they get to avoid that rule, right? They never have to worry about it. Don't ask. Well, here in the States, when Bill Clinton came into office, concerning the military, he had a don't ask, don't tell policy. So with women, it's a don't ask, don't pay policy. They won't ask you, so that way they have no obligation to pay for anything. Exactly, PJ. If you have to wait for her, hell, in the U.S., women don't even want to pick up the phone and call you. They don't want to text, and now you're asking them to pay. One time I used to say that our society was in the middle of a transformation, and I wouldn't say that anymore. We're in the middle of a game, in the middle of racketeering. This is a racket that's being run. Women will scream and holler, victim, misogyny, sexist, if you ask her to operate like a woman from the 1950s, yet they demand that a man does everything from the 1950s, everything. That's a racket. That's a game. Extortion. Well, especially when they ask for divorce, right? And you wonder why divorce is dropping. So, guys, this is going to be, we are going to have a politically incorrect conversation. I know you've probably heard women talk about should men pay for dating, and they always come up with the same, they come up with two things. Well, if the woman asks, she should pay. And so how does a woman avoid that? She doesn't ask. And the other thing they say, well, that's the man's, men have roles, it seems, according to women. Women know all the roles of a man, and not, they have no clear understanding of what a role is for a woman. And you guys know what I will say about that. Men have allowed that to happen. So let's have a politically incorrect, let's take this from a counterintuitive perspective. Let's take this conversation down the path least traveled. And we are going to rip open this whole notion of dating. And what's really happening? What is dating really about? And is it extortion? So I had some thoughts about this. And my thoughts went like this. And before I give you my thoughts, look, as you come in, guys, smash that thumbs up button. Click the like button. If you haven't subscribed to my channel, if you're not getting notifications, it means you may have subscribed and you didn't click the bell, so you're not getting notifications. And sometimes YouTube unsubscribes people, so make sure you are subscribed to my channel. So that's a good time to do this. Share this. Look, I dare any woman to jump on this show and have this conversation with me. They are still attempting to have conversations with me from Sunday's show, which was, what did I talk about Sunday? Makeup. Are women deceitful or lying when they wear makeup? And man, you should hear the justification. So I'm even going to bring some of that. Some of Sunday's show is going to spill over into today. So share this video. Share it with all the guys that you know. Men need to rethink dating because women have turned everything on its head and stepped on the sideline and just watched men sort of run around in confusion. And even men are butting heads with one another. Dating stems from prostitution. Funny you say that, PJ. When I lived in DC, that's what the prostitutes would say to you. They would ask you, do you want a date? I went to DC to go to college. So I'm 18 years old. And I hear women say, do you want a date? And I had never heard of a prostitute saying that. It was perplexing, to say the least. I couldn't believe women were walking up to your car and saying, do you want a date? Would you like to date? That was the solicitation strategy in Washington, D.C. Have no idea how they're doing it now. So I see you guys also. Society Live, Jared Hunt, good to see you guys in the house on Instagram. I am on operating like a Sunday evening of Straight Talk, even though today is Tuesday. So if you'd like to call in, the phone number is 323-642-1387. That's 323-642-1387. So let's get to some of my thoughts. My thoughts go like this. In an age of independent women and equal rights, should dating rituals change? Besides, what is the true purpose of dating or courting? It is to get to know one another. In the past, a man would sit with a woman on her front porch. That was the clearest path for getting to know one another. If they and her parents saw a compatibility between the two, the relationship would progress until marriage was the next or final step. During that progression, it was the woman who cooked a meal for the man at her parents' home. Not going to fancy restaurants and traveling to the Bahamas or Aruba or wherever. Today, dating has devolved to fun, excitement, and entertainment. Then people wonder why they never get to know one another. If it is women who strongly desire so much entertainment, should men be obliged to finance it? If her life is that boring, perhaps she needs a mirror so she can look in it and understand why she in her life is boring. Furthermore, what was the point of women becoming independent if they depend on men to pay for dates? This conversation today is so big, I cannot present it alone. In a little while, we're going to have the Fix for New York, or Cash, is going to come in. He's going to join us in this conversation. And we're going to take a very politically incorrect approach to dating in the 21st century. So like, subscribe, and share this video to both men and women. Because I think women need to really hear where men are coming from with this perspective. Other thoughts I had was women have demanded they have a place in companies built by men. That way they can have their own money. Now that they have their own money, should they be responsible for paying for dates? Right? So wasn't that the point of women working in the workplace and having access to high-paying jobs so that they could say, hey, I have money? But 77% of consumer purchases are made by women. So was that the end goal for women, to just go shopping? Even when women talk about marriage, they want to keep their jobs. They want the man to pay all the bills, and his money is her money, and her money is her money. And how does that work out to team in a relationship? Awfully confusing. And as I said, I used to say we were in the middle of a transformation. No more would I say that. So I have a lot of thoughts about this. One is, I had some thoughts that were, it seems that just before I jump down that street, if you look at dating was designed as a path to marriage. I don't care if you say dating, courting, whichever one, it was for the man and woman to get to know one another so that the end game was marriage, building a legacy, having children, and the children being the legal heirs of the legacy, whatever that union, the couple created. Dating was for that. So, you know, when you see a man and woman dating or courting, the guy was literally on that woman's front porch, and they were getting to know one another, to know if it was compatible. And you know what? There may have been two or three guys interested in her, and they all had the same access to her. Front porch. Dad was inside, so was mom, but dad was there. There was no what they called hanky-panky. And somehow it evolved to going out for ice cream and movies and all these other things. But it was really strictly to see if there was compatibility between the interested couple. So if the dating has gone devolved into pure entertainment, and you have to prove to me that you can schedule and a great date and entertain me, and I want to have fun, there's no way you're going to get to know the person, and you're getting to know them under false pretenses, which gets us back to wearing makeup, right? So here's, you know, Cash, and I want you to jump in here, but there's a lot of different avenues we're going to take on this. So one of my thoughts was, if you, ladies, you want to have dates, if you want to go to a restaurant, great. The challenge is this: show up natural, no makeup, no push-up bras, nothing fake. And guys, if you're into women who have gotten implants, gone under the knife and all that, you need to have phone conversations and find out. If you're into that, great, you'll know that in advance. If not, the woman needs to disclose that. So if women show up, this would be an interesting way for men and women to have a first date. Woman shows up completely natural, no makeup, dressed normal. And the guy has the right to say, I'm out. I cancel. I don't want this date now that I see how you really look. Or he thinks you're okay, but he's willing to move forward. But now it's up to you as a woman to pull him in and keep him interested. So he then says, instead of saying cancel, we're going to go Dutch because I'm not sold yet. So you pay for yours and I pay for mine. Or the guy says, you show up natural, and he says, yep, I'm all in, I'll pay. Then the guy gets to see who you really are. That's just a thought of mine. What's going on, Cash? Good to see you here. You guys have seen Cash before. If you're not following him on YouTube or Instagram, check him out. Instagram at the Fix for New York. You have a YouTube channel also, Cash?
Yeah, also the YouTube is at the Fix for New York. And
okay.
Also check out Red Pill Latinos on Instagram, and we're setting up the YouTube as well. You know, this awareness, this manacy is definitely growing, and as long as we're able to maintain unity, clear communication, we could get really far and overturn like a lot of the ridiculousness that's going on right now. It's funny you mentioned right now, all right, since it's the first day, you got to show up all natural and all that. And we already know what's going to happen with the majority, not all, the majority of women, if they hear something like that. Oh. Here we go. That's minor. Minor pause right there, but yeah, like this whole, you know, men gotta pay for the date by default that is expected and all that is ridiculous, because women push so hard to you know, be able to work, which fine, they rightfully deserve that. I'm in full advocacy of that. Women push to be seen as equals. All right, cool. I'm in full advocacy of that as well. But what's funny is, in moments where the actual equality is to be put into action, there's rebuttal and shame language. Oh, you're not a man if you don't pay. You're not a man if you don't approach women. But then you gotta watch out for hashtag me too, false allegations, all that, right? Very rare, very rare. For women to approach a man. Women want men to accept them for all their flaws, but the minute you say one thing that they disagree with, they're out, you know? So they want to be accepted. They want to be tolerated. They want to be seen as equals, but at the same time, they want massive leverage. And if you're not giving them all these things, they're ready to leave. Now you just got your time wasted, your money wasted. You were led on, and it's ridiculous, man. And I truly wish if all men could just come together and say, hey, let's all agree, no more paying for women for nothing. And they gotta be full-blown honest from the get, because they want full-blown honesty from us.
Exactly.
But from the get, they want to know, where do you work at, how much you make, do you have any children, are you seeing anybody else, like oh, so many things, and we do our best to be honest and legit, because us as men, the majority of us, because there are bad men out there, and the reason these bad men still exist to this day is thanks to when women got the right to vote. The more women that started voting, they started voting for all these laws to keep us from being able to execute consequential actions against, you know, individuals, which the majority of the time, it would just be men holding men accountable to the point of even lethal force, you know, if they broke, like, honor codes and all that. It was always, like, the women. This is ridiculous. Even before anybody tries to catch a minor
Cash, can you turn, either your volume needs to go up or you're going to have to speak a little louder. Or get the mic closer to your mouth.
How about now?
Oh, it's the same.
Okay, how about now?
I don't think that's changing. You might have to move the mic a little closer.
Testing.
That's a little better, yeah.
All right. I think also, hold on, let me turn my window fan off here. Give me a second. Does that help?
I didn't hear the fan before, so.
No?
No.
It was just
the volume of your voice. You know, I thought it was a little low. I could hear you, but then someone said something, so.
No, okay, no problem. All right, let's see. How about this? Testing.
Yeah, keep going, man. Keep going.
Testing. Testing 1, 2.
Yeah, keep going, Cash.
Testing 1, 2.
Hey, Cash, go ahead, man. You're fine. Keep going. Keep saying what you were going to say.
Oh, okay. All right. So, yeah, like, they require so much from us, but then they want to hide things from us. They want to hide if they're talking to other men. They're going to expect us to pay, but then they want to hide if we're going to get any intimacy. And I'm not talking, oh, yeah, sex right away or anything, but, like, okay, how you were saying prior to me coming on this, I was listening and all that. Dating used to be getting to know each other with the potential of things, further continuing, you know, further going forward and all that. Why would a woman agree to a date with a man to begin with, unless, like, something seriously ridiculous occurs? And even then, there should be some type of forgiveness, because women always want to be forgiven as well. But why would women agree to a date with no intention of, because they know us men, we seek intimacy more than anything. A kiss, clear demonstration that we're gonna continue seeing each other, things like that. No man, it's very rare. Because I've gone out a few times with girls who are friends and all that, but during those times, it's like, you're paying for you, I'm paying for me. No man is gonna pay for a girl unless he offers it. But no man is really gonna pay for a girl that he's not interested in having intimacy with. I read this one quote that said, God really didn't make men and women to be platonic friends. I kind of disagree with it, but I also agree with it at the same time, because it's like we're supposed to be unifying to further procreate and all that. And even though I'm not big on having children right now due to all the circumstances and the laws, it's just like, wait a minute, why are women, it's how that study showed, a lot of women, a third of women who were honest about it, they use men for food dates and all that, but then they want to be equal. They hide things from them. They disguise their faces, but then they want to be, I'm not wearing any makeup right now. You know, this is me. I don't think you're wearing any makeup. They use so much deception. They use so much deception. They hide so many things, but then they expect so much out of us. They want us to knock it out the park when they could barely pull off a bunch.
Well, you know, that it's interesting you say that, right? So I had these thoughts. That this is what I thought pertaining to that. Women seem to believe men are getting a lot from a date. And when men only want sex from a woman, it's because the woman's offering is low.
Exactly.
When you spend money on something, you want something in return. And women seem to believe a man should be lucky to be out with them. Hell, as a man, our time is valuable. And they completely discount it, like their time is more valuable than ours. So, mm-hmm. And we use our time to earn money. So if we spend time with her, she's creating an opportunity cost. So when a woman has a low offering, men lose twice. We lose the time that we spend with her, and we lose the money, kind of, and the time that we spent to get that money, we'll never get that time back, right? The money and the time, the effort and the time to get the money, we just invested in a woman who had a very low offering. She didn't, we got nothing out of it. A lot of women think we're getting stuff out of it and we're learning. So some women attempt to hide their low offering by demanding a man plan an exciting date. All the fun and excitement is at the man's expense. However, he doesn't have an opportunity to find out who the woman is. So it's a slick way for a woman who really has nothing to offer to hide behind all this fun. Look, see, we're having so much fun. Don't you like being with me? And as long as the guy keeps spending the money, she likes him. And if he stops, there are women who say, I'm out. I'm not, you know. I don't feel you anymore. You know, the chemistry is gone. It's not that the chemistry is gone. It's all the fun outings are gone. So she's just looking for this next sucker to do the same. So part of the reason I'm saying that is, so when women say men take us out and they only want sex, if you take a woman out and you see this woman is valuable, you're having a great interactive conversation, you don't care if you have sex on that first date. If you did, it would happen because you both wanted it. But if it didn't happen, you're just looking for the next time you can spend time with her. You're looking for the next time. But if you didn't get anything out of it, then you want sex because you got nothing out of it. So I want to get something out of this. And I think women don't clearly understand that. They believe just being there is enough. And men should be paying for their presence. Someone said earlier, dating is like prostitution. I was saying that when I lived in D.C., the prostitutes walked up to your car and asked if you wanted a date. I had never heard that. You know, living in Jersey or New York, I never heard that till I went to D.C. And that's how women's prostitutes solicited you. So that's my thought is – part of it is this. Women they tell us that we owe them because they had to go out and find an outfit. I think if they show up natural, we find out who you are, right? Mm-hmm. So and don't tell me about all the outfits and money you had to spend. Show up and be yourself. That's what we want to see, right? Mm-hmm. And if women spent more time developing their minds, then they would have actually something to offer when they got to the date. But they spend so much effort in all this makeup and the outfit. I'm hesitating. I know a Puerto Rican dude who was interested in a Colombian chick. She went home for about a month and came back and had implants. And he lost interest immediately because he said he liked the way her body was already. Why did you have to put fake stuff? So women are doing all this stuff. They think they're claiming they're doing it for us. But they're not, because a lot of us don't want that. So if women put more effort, instead of getting implants and caking their face up with makeup, develop yourself so that you actually have something to offer. You be an interesting person, and we look forward to seeing you again. And sex is a natural progression, because I don't think there are any women who will stay in a relationship with a guy who won't have sex with her. So sex is mutual. So it's like, spare me. I don't want to hear that. That's all we want. We need more than that. But if you're offering nothing, we're going to take that because you have nothing else to offer except what's between your legs. And I'm going to shut up for a bit, man. I think we got a lot of comments going here.
So the one thing that you brought up, all the women say, that they had to buy an outfit. And what, you think that we didn't? How you know that we didn't buy an outfit either?
Right.
Oh, that they had to get their hair done. How you know we didn't go get a fresh cut? Makeup. Okay, you went and wasted money on makeup, which countless times men have been saying, we really don't care for makeup. We want to see how you naturally look. Then on top of that, all right, you want to compare makeup? I got my car washed. More than likely, I got to go pick you up. More than likely, I got to pay your transportation. So what are you talking about? I got to make sure that my vehicle is good. And if it's not my vehicle, whether it's a taxi or Uber or Lyft, guess who's paying for it? More than likely, because you're not willing to mutually meet up with me over there. Right. For the most part, if you and I agree that let's go meet up, whatever, yeah, I'll meet you there.
Exactly.
No problem.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly.
And then they want to, how you said, dating is basically prostitution because that's what they're holding over us when we're, of course, we want sex. They act like they don't want sex either. Women will leave a man who's horrible at sex. She's not even a man. On the other hand, and if a woman's horrible at sex, he's going to work with her to improve her on it.
Yep.
There was a comedian, I forgot his name, but I'll see if I can look it up here. He said, you know, women demand so much from men, and then they wonder why we only look at them as sex objects. You got to be taller than her. You got to make more money than her. You got to allegedly be more smarter than her because she always wants to learn things from you. If a woman teaches you anything, then she starts losing sexual attraction towards you. You got to be stronger than her. By default, for the most part, men, you know, are stronger than women and all that. But we're not looking to flex our muscle on women. You're not looking to, like, put her in a headlock or anything. Oh, yeah, you know, can you take me? Or you want to see how strong I am? Let's go get in the ring. Like, we're not looking for those type of things. We're looking for unity, for companionship. And then it's just like all these things that they require from us, we're not giving much in return, the comedian said. So all you've basically done is shown us that you're nothing more than a sex object. And then another comedian, this one I do remember his name, Patrice O'Neill, he was like, ladies, if you lost your vagina today, how would you treat your man? And they all were like, suck his dick more often. They'll give him anal sex. Me, I'm not big on anal. I try to stay away from that. And then he was like, you see, like, I gave women an opportunity to show what more they have to offer besides sex, and they still just reverted back to sex. A series of holes. The first comedian, what he said was, with all these things that women require from men, all they're leaving us to look at them as is a sex object, ass, titties, and you know, a vagina.
Right.
Come on, man, like, all these requirements for nothing but sex. You're going to tell me then that dating isn't prostitution? You're going to tell me that you bring more to the table? Nonsense.
We're at some interesting comments. Someone wrote, meat, money, energy, attention, and time.
Shout out Coach Greg Adams.
Yeah. Silent Lamont, good comments. Good to see you in the house, man. He said, women understand, but it doesn't, it doesn't benefit her.
No,
it doesn't benefit.
They'll talk about equality, but then they're really seeking leverage.
Right. They will say whatever they need to say. They understand they don't have much, which is why they keep the men busy dancing around to take focus off the fact he's not actually getting anything. Right. And that's what I was saying. They ask for all these exciting dates, and you need to show you can plan. And then the guy gets suckered in, and it's unfortunate men are not paying attention to this. They're like, oh, I have such a good time with her, but it's at your expense. And she's just sitting back watching you like, you know, like you're a puppet on a string. And you marry her only to find out you can't continue that lifestyle. And she's going to be looking, she may end up cheating because she's looking for some excitement. That's what
excitement.
She's looking for. So
she's not trying to help build, contribute in any type of way, nothing. She's looking for excitement. I'll keep this as anonymous as possible. At some point in my existence, I'm 32 years of age, going on 33. I have spoken to several different married and or in a relationship women. And you see how they said they're constantly looking for excitement. They're looking for that next hit, like junkies and
right.
all that. All these women, when they have complained about their man, oh, he's not spontaneous anymore. Oh, he doesn't take me out as much. I've always asked him the same thing. Why don't you take him out? Why don't you do something romantic?
Right.
And you know what happens? With that said, right away, they get mad. They're not trying to hear it. Like, their faces just show that.
Right.
They're not.
That's
pro.
Not their job.
Uh-huh.
Not, and that's what I was saying in the beginning. Women are holding men to every 1950 standard that men had back in the 50s, and they have sidestepped every responsibility of the women back then. And the biggest problem really is that men allowed that. Honestly, Lone Wolf, I'm glad you asked that. I wanted to respond to your question Sunday. And he asked, what are your guys' opinion about cold approaching? And I definitely want to answer that. I meant to answer you on Sunday. So good to see you in the house again. But let me, we got a couple of callers where I'm on Blog Talk Radio. Hey, Reg, you in your car again, man. It's loud. So I'm going to try again with. It's too loud. Your background. Yeah.
Hey,
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Oh, I'm going to mute. Okay.
Hold on. 870. One second. Women are passive not because it's their nature. It's because they understand that being proactive requires some form of humility. This humility can only come when their ego is totally dropped. But I wonder if it comes with responsibility. Women have done a great job in completely avoiding responsibility. 870, you're live and on the air with Straight Talk. What's your name? Where are you calling from? This is Straight Talk for a special Tuesday evening event. With Cash as a guest, you guys have seen him before, and we're taking on a tough, we're peeling off layers. We're going to get into some ugly stuff in a second here. But 870, you're live and on the air. We're talking about, should men pay for dates?
Good evening, Ted. How's it going, gentlemen?
All right. How's it going, man? Thanks for calling.
You know, I'm out here keeping it cool, man. It's funky out here with me. I'm chill. What's happening?
All right. So what are your thoughts? We're talking about should men pay for dates.
And my answer would be yes and no, Ted.
Okay.
And I tell you why I say yes and no. I would say I don't mind paying for a good, high-quality woman. But no,
okay.
To somebody who done already paid themselves over for free. Now, that's just me. Now, I don't know how the other gentlemen getting down, but I don't roll like that.
Okay, good. All right, perfect. Good enough. Hey, okay, good, TJ, yeah. I mean, that's the problem that we have with women. I mean, even, look, women have asked for jobs so they could have money. And now they have money. Here's, before I even get to the money, women claim they don't need men. Well, who are they begging for jobs? Like, if women were really that good, they wouldn't be asking men for jobs. They would have gone out and taken the capital, because you have lots of super, super wealthy, like uber wealthy people, like women from the Rockefeller family, the Rothschilds, the Carnegie, the Morgan, the Astor. Like you can, there's a Habsburgs family. There are all kinds of big name families where these women have access to hundreds of millions and sometimes billions. The Walton, Sam Walton, founder of Walmart. He has heirs who are women. So there are women with tons of money. There are women who have who are part of venture capital, VCs. They invest in companies, private equity. So there are plenty of women with money. And I've said this before, the number one way for women to get wealth is through marriage. And hell, look at Bill Gates' wife and Jeff Bezos. These women are multi-billionaires. And look at what they're doing with their money. Which of those two women will ever build a company that competes with their husband or competes with anything? So they're just, exactly. They're using their money to be philanthropic. I'm giving it to a university and I'm giving it to this, but they're doing nothing industrious with it. So if women claim they want to be in a workforce, why aren't they coming together with all the money they have access to for over 100 years and stop begging men for jobs and go out there and build your own companies with females only? I mean, ultimately, they need to pack up and go create their own civilization, because mm-hmm. they are not being responsible. But they're claiming we're oppressing them. But if they build their own civilization on an island, then you know what's going to oppress them? Work. Hard work. They're going to have to extract their own natural resources. They're going to have to build factories and build machines so that they can extract resources and build automobiles and plants and all that stuff. They don't want that. So they don't want to be responsible for any of that stuff. They want to sit back and claim victim. And that's exactly that if you understand that mindset, that women could actually go create their own companies, they don't want that responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
So when they date, they bring the same exact mindset. They want, but they don't want to be responsible for anything. You are responsible. You're the man, and you're sexist, misogynist, and you're oppressing me in your patriarchal society that I refuse to leave.
They say that they don't need men, but how are they able to go shower right now?
Exactly.
Due to the water system running, and who's behind that? Men. Oh, how are their phones working right now? Who put that phone together? More than likely, a man. Who's making sure that they have signal? Who's climbing up these towers to make sure that everything is working right, to shoot off the frequency? Men. Who's making sure that the electrical grid is working,
exactly.
So they come home,
exactly.
You know, the little Sex in the City behavior, come home to an apartment,
right.
And all that. The reason they could turn their lights on, men. Most of the establishments that they're going to work for, how you said, male-owned.
Tell me, how many Fortune 500 female companies exist? Zero. Not one woman founded a Fortune 500 company.
And here's something I went through recently. I had, you know, engagement with this gorgeous woman, because I catch a lot of heat for this in the manosphere. I like older women. I could definitely be with a younger woman also, you know, because I don't look my age at all. Everybody
right,
says
right.
Like you're 19, 20, and all that. Nobody believes me that I'm in my 30s. But I've always had like this thing for older women as well. She's there making fun of me because obviously I look young, and I'm like, well, Is that a bad thing? When you buy fruit, wouldn't you prefer to get the ripe fruit or vegetable? Like, what are you doing with that? Oh, I'm just playing, blah, blah, blah. But if the shoe's on the other phone where they're teasing them, they start getting bothered and all that. I got my car washed twice that day. I made an amazing reservation at this restaurant when we were outside on the balcony and all that. And then the one thing that got me minorly upset with her, I won't say here, but she told me something that got me minorly upset. And I decided just to drop her off, you know, and to just clear my head. And then we were drinking. So, you know, when you're drinking, the mood that you're in is amplified. If you're sad, you're going to be super sad. Mm. If you're happy, you're going to be very happy. So she told me something that you should, like, come on, you're an older woman and you claim, oh, that you're so mature and all that. Why are you going to say something that could be problematic when drinks are already occurring? Tell me this prior to us going out on the date, like, that I know what's going on. She waits till we're having drinks to tell me this problematic piece of information, and I get bothered by it and all that. And then I ask her, like, why weren't you here with me before, you know? And, like, her responses were, like, very dull. So, you know, I decided to drop her off home just to clear my head. All I wanted to do was clear my head. I call her the next day to say, hey, look, on my behalf, I apologize that I got upset and all that. She didn't bother apologizing to me on her behalf. And then she says, well, I don't want to see you no more. After everything that I went through to organize that date, like, it wasn't even funny. You know, I won't go on a heavy rant there. I just want to I wanted to explain briefly what had occurred. Nothing gets taken into consideration from us men. Nothing. But let us lack consideration on any. You know, women get mad when we don't notice if they blow dry their hair or, like, if they did, like, a different style. They get mad. Like, what the fuck? You get mad at things like that. But then we do 9 out of 10 things right, and the one thing they disagree with is a deal breaker. It's hard.
I mean, gentlemen, it's almost like we, Ted, we always go back to that Genesis story, man. Everybody trying to point the finger whether who did what with the apple or the fruit or whatever it was. But ever since that point forward, Ted, since Adam, mankind, the man of the human race, always been held accountable for everything. Now tell me if I'm wrong. Adam took the brunt of the most of the punishment more than Eve did, but he cursed both of them. Then he cursed the snake too, Ted.
Well, maybe we should look at that as a lesson, right? So Adam was ultimately in charge, right? So if you I thought about this. Imagine you build a house, a 6,000-square-foot house. That's not a mansion. It's kind of a mini mansion. But that, you know, maybe you have 6 good-sized bedrooms, 6,000 square feet. Hey, whoever's got the clicking going on, Reg, if that's you, you got to go on mute, man. It's noise. So imagine you build this house, and you had the cash to pay for most of it. You borrowed a little money. You paid it off in 5 years. And then you meet a woman after it's all paid off. Your house is an asset.
Mm-hmm. She wants to unify with you to have access to that asset.
But here's the question. It's your house. You built it. You paid people. You had designers, architects, labor, planners. You are responsible for that house. Hands down, you are. And now, if you can understand that on a personal, one-on-one, one man, then you look at society. Men built every civilization on the planet. So if you build it, you maintain it, and you protect it. You are responsible for it. And if you have a child with that woman in your house and that child is running around crazy, a pyromaniac, lighting matches all the time, if you don't provide guidance to that child, they're going to burn your house down. They don't care how much effort and money you put into building it. So as a parent, as a father, you're responsible. You're responsible for guiding the child, and you're responsible for the upkeep of that house. And it's the same thing for society. So when you talk about Adam and Eve, it was the same situation. So if you marry a woman who just wrecks your house or takes it from you, you are responsible for letting a woman come into your life after the fact and just take it from you. You really are. And this is the part of what I want men to get is we're here because we built everything around us. As Cash was just saying, women want electricity, they want heat, they want all these things. Well, men made all this possible. And some women have diminished us. I've heard women say men offer nothing in society. And it's like, really? Like, you actually
come
said,
again. Somebody said men don't offer nothing in society. I need to figure out who that chick was so I can sit down and talk with her. Because you show me any society on the face of planet, this blue marble we living on, Ted, that the man had been in charge of everything. Hell, even the war that was fought. Man was responsible for that. Hiroshima and a whole lot of other different things. Tell me where man wasn't responsible for all of society as a whole, Ted.
Well, someone said it. Now we've given women rule over everything we built. And I caution men about that mindset, right? I'm going to get to that later, but I'm going to assert that's propaganda. And men are buying into propaganda, just like women bought into propaganda from the women's movement of the 60s. Hey, Reggie, I think you wanted to say something a few minutes ago. What was it before I move on?
Well, all right, hold on. Can you hear me, Ted?
Yeah, you're fine.
Yeah, how you doing today? How you doing today, gentlemen?
Very cool, man.
How you doing?
Good evening.
Got your boy? So what's going on, Reggie, man?
Yes, I ain't good.
You know, I was listening in and something funny happened at work today. When I'm at this location, like many other, I'm the only guy there in this management team with these two white ladies. There's one restroom in the office, and I'm the only man to use it, right? So one of them going to one of my coworkers, could you please tell him when he's done to, we are women that work here. Can he come put the the seat back down when I'm done? Man, she told me, so one told me that like a couple weeks ago, but I live alone. I'm used to pissing and shit, I ain't think about it. So today the woman came out and I said, can I talk to you? Yeah, could you please put the seat down, right? Like this man, I laughed right in her face, man. And she looked at me, right? So I told my coworker who looked at me, I said, it's a manly thing to do, when you're done, you put the seat down. That's a real man thing. I said, what? What the fuck that got to do with being? Excuse me. I said, what that got to do with being a man? What's courage? You need to think about the woman when it. I said, well, do she think about me when she does popping her ass down to lift that seat back up? In the case I might want to come through and drain the vein. So, it's just that, I just thought about that, man. I thought that shit was hilarious. And just listening to the conversation this evening in regards to dating and responsibility and the whole thing about it, and it still just boils back to she doesn't want to be responsible for anything. She wants to be, this is all women. Fat, ugly, whatever you want to do, they done you, whatever going on, they feel that them as a woman, they're entitled to this. You as a man, you're supposed to automatically, I guess, basically put them on a pedestal. Dating, just like Ted said, if your time, meet, money, attention, what's meet? Money, attention.
We got you.
Well, I wanted to get it right, kid. Get up off of me. So, basically, this still goes back to you have to make them earn. make them show you, make them show you, they have to have some skin in the game, basically. You have to, I mean, I don't date. I mean, and I really wouldn't mind, you know, treating a woman nice, as long as I feel she deserves it. But she comes in with her hand out, or she comes with this entitlement, or like some stuff to her today, I already know we done. You know, basically, if she starts out that way, she's basically already telling you, you know, she already really showing you who she really is and really how she sees you and how she sees herself, and she sees herself is above you, and you need to be catering to her and worshiping her because that's how she sees it. So that means that if you're looking up at her, she's looking down at you, and that's kind of interesting because most women, you know, they want to marry or they want to be involved with somebody who's above them. If you put them on a pedestal, which is, you know, just being monogamous with her, you let her know that, you know, that she's above you, or she's above any other woman. So what are you gonna do? Well, just listen to the problem, Ted. I think the solution is like me in the book of Alpha Ron and me and a bunch of other guys is make them earn everything. Everything. If not, have them kick rocks. And that's what men need to do. But you got the 80-20 rule going on. You got 80% simps and you got 20% men. I don't know if this is a war that you could win with that type of percentage against you.
Yeah,
I'm done.
All right. Yeah, we're gonna have to address that mindset, man. I wanted to answer. Someone asked a question about cold approaching a woman, and most of the relationships I've had, and I understand most of those have been before social media. So social media has made some changes, right? But even with social media in full force, I've still in the gym. The gym is a great place for me to meet women, like easy place. Coming from New York to Jersey, you know, a lot of people, we hop on a bus and come in. Cash, you and I are in the same county now. You're from the Boogie Down Bronx, right?
Yeah.
Yep. So you come over from the Boogie Down to Jersey. So we're just down the road from one another. So for me, I'll hop on a bus and I've met women sitting on a bus, sitting next to me on a bus. I mean, it's cold. Women I've never seen before, cold approach. I lived with two women. Both of them I met literally, it was a walking down the street situation. So I would say it still works. A few years ago, Cash, I had a woman follow me. I think I must have seen her on 6th Avenue. And she was walking towards me, and I looked her up and down, and in my peripheral vision, I saw her turn around. And I, you know, you don't think a woman is following you, right? So it was summertime, and so I just made a random turn, and she turned with me, and I made another. Then I ended up in Central Park, and she came into Central Park with me, man. So I stopped walking. Huh?
You would think she would have said something like, hey, I find you interesting.
So I walked up to her. She was from Israel. She was visiting. So she followed me for blocks all the way into the park. So I'm saying that there are women who will make themselves available, except like you just said, she didn't want to be responsible for actually walking up to me. Because when I stopped in a park to see if she would actually come over to me, she didn't. So she didn't want that responsibility. So I had to go up to her and find out who she was. I didn't ask her if she was. I don't think I asked her if she was following me. I don't think so. But clearly she was. She followed me for blocks. It was daylight, but she followed me into Central Park. So women, as long as your approach doesn't disrespect the woman in any way, right? I think a lot of women, especially after COVID, are probably more receptive to cold approaching now.
I cold approach all the time. All I need is two glances and I go for it, simply because women, since their standards are so high, they want to see confidence in a man. They want to see a man who is quick to make a decision, who's assertive, and who shows that he could handle himself socially. So that's what they're seeing. So what I try to do every day before leaving the house is tell myself mentally, you're going to come across an attractive girl who's going to look at you. I stretch really good to get all the tension out, and I take it from there. If I get looked at two times, boom, I'll go for it. And yeah, you just approach them calmly. Hey, how you doing? Could I help her notice when they eye contact a few times? You know, my name is Cash. What's yours? And then just take it from there. I have to truly put emphasis on the fact that, unfortunately, because we are human, and it's sad that women, they want to be tolerated, understood, and accepted, but then they don't want to reciprocate that.
Right.
That we're human, if you're approaching an attractive girl, more than likely you'll be nervous and all that. So I got to put an emphasis on the fact, fellas, like before anything, stretch a lot. Try to get all the tension out of your body, because that alone could be a deal breaker. What we're dealing with today is ridiculous. I truly hope that we could unite more in the manosphere and be able to put some type of money together, like that we could all leave, you know, to Cuba or a third world country. I say Cuba because based on the knowledge that I've gathered, that's where we will be most appreciated. But yeah, that's just some advice right there.
The other thing to think about is that a lot of women are nervous when a man approaches them because they don't know if they know what to say. And a lot of guys don't realize that women are also nervous. I mean, I've had a woman, when I put my hand out to, you know, greet and shake her hand was literally shaking. I mean, she wasn't drop dead gorgeous, but she was attractive, right? She was a nice looking woman. I've seen women be nervous. I've met, when I used to race on a bicycle, I rode a lot. I lived in D.C., so I met a lot of women riding on a bicycle. And I remember seeing a woman and then coming up on a sidewalk behind her, and she thought I was a little further down, and she turned around and saw me coming up behind her. And I saw her whole body stiffen up. And we ended up seeing one another for a while. And she told me when she saw me coming, she was like, oh, my God, what am I going to say to this guy? I can't believe he's actually coming. Even though she was looking at me because she was interested, but now she just didn't know what to do, that I was actually approaching her.
This is why, as much as a libertarian that I am, I'm every day more and more, I'm becoming more in favor of restoring communication, advocacy, and engagement courses for specifically for women, even though for men too, like we should restore, like, you know, in school curriculum or whatever. Look, this is what women are attracted to, because for a long time, and, you know, us being of Latino descent, we could agree that a lot of our music is simp music. TV shows and movies have turned us into simps as well.
Fellas. Yeah, man. Yeah.
But I'm starting to be more in favor of these advocacy courses being returned, you know, that gotta be part of curriculum. Like, hey, this is how you talk to a man. You do this if you want a man's attention. Do not flirt with men that you're not trying to engage. You have to be forgiving. No man is perfect. You have to be honest, transparent from the beginning, demonstrate and execute on clear communication. That's what men are about. I work in sales. I'm pretty sure you have had some sales experience as well. So Hold on, Cash.
Hey, Reg, you got to go on mute. Someone's got to go on mute. You have to. I can hear you banging around, man. All right, finish. Sorry. Yes, and I have worked in sales. I have.
Yeah, so we're big on clear communication, transparency, and understanding prior to the purchase of any product because we want to know what our money is being put into. But at the same time, we also want the respect as well because, like, look at all this shit testing and all that. Women shouldn't do that. Oh, that they do that allegedly to see where you're at and how you're able to handle conflict. Hey, the last thing on a woman's mind should be how a man is going to handle conflict because us as men, we know certain situations when they arise, all right, how we're going to respond to it in comparison to dealing with a woman. She hits you with a shit test and you're just like, why is this girl putting me through this? Now I don't want to deal with her. No man wants to be challenged by a woman. Well, no man in his right mind. A man seeks out a woman for peace, for pleasure, for peace, for comfort. Women want a man who's going to take care of them to the caliber of their father or more, but they don't want to reciprocate their end of it. Us men, we're looking for a woman who's going to nurture us the way our mothers would, who's going to be compassionate to us and understanding with us the way our mothers would. There's a lot of one-sided, you know, bullshit. It's seriously ridiculous. And you and I are in different generations, and we're both, you know, expressing this along with the guys who are calling in now, and I'm pretty sure plenty of men in the chat. Right now, we even have TikTok as well, teams going their own way. No matter the generation, we're all coming to an agreement on one thing, that it's women who are the problem. Look at all these great comedians and all these, you know, celebrities and athletes and all that having issues with women, expressing how women have caused them problems. Dave Chappelle, yeah, chivalry is dead and women killed it.
Well, here's the funniest way to tell you women are creating problems. Now that you have gay marriage, you get to see what's really happening. So when two men get married, the divorce rate is 20%. When two women get married, the divorce rate is 45%. And two women are, the crazy thing is the women are saying the same thing that guys are saying. Women are entitled. They don't want to be responsible. So, you know, imagine two women. So if a woman is with a man, she can assume, she'll impose the traditional 1950s role. It's your job to pay for dinner. It's your job to make the first move. You call, pop up, you know, if you want to have sex, you need to let it be known. Well, when two women are together, and I've read a ton of interviews, they say both women are sitting back waiting for the other one to play the man's role, and no one's doing it because they're waiting. So you initiate, well, now it's your turn. Like, no one wants to do it because they expect a man to do it. And women don't want to take risks. Men take risks. And as much as women will be in denial, that's part of biology. It's our neurobiology. The way our biochemical makeup is, women will shy away from confrontation and men will go towards it. So, and it's like you were saying, if a conflict comes up, a man is going to handle the conflict. Women are going to shy away. So we're not equal. We're not equal.
Mm-hmm. That's why I highly disagree with the shit test. And again, etiquette courses, when they were being taught to women, that was one of the main things as well. Not necessarily using the term shit test, but the behavior behind it. Hey, you don't be disrespectful to a man. You don't disrespect a man. You act like a lady towards a man. You be transparent. Pardon me. You be transparent with a man. Like that, you get the best possible outcome. And you have to work together with men. Then these women go into panic when us men talk about leaving to third world countries. Oh, those women are just going to use you for papers. No, and what are you doing?
Right, exactly. Exactly.
It's ridiculous already. And that's why, as much as of a libertarian I am, we have seen where we grant them their freedom, liberties, which they rightfully deserve, but we see what they choose to do with it. That's like if you give somebody a loan set of $1,000 and they decide, man, I'm against the war on drugs and all that. It is unconstitutional, but at the end of the day, certain drugs do have lethal consequences under heavy usage. You loan somebody $1,000 just to see what they do with it, and they go buy a giant bag of crack. You're going to be like, wow, I can never trust you with money again.
And some people may say, well, if they bought a bag of crack and sold it and made $10,000 and then gave you your money back.
All right. You see, and this is why, because people are like, oh, you're too big on details. You see how you got me right there with that? All right, let's say they buy a big bag of crack based on the example, the context I was putting it in, so use it on themselves, not to make sign of it.
All right,
thank you for proving my point, because a lot of people get mad at me like, oh, sometimes you over explain things. Yeah, because there's always a little hole that if I don't cover that hole as well, they want to say, oh, you have an ABD or whatever. No, I try to cover all holes, because when I don't, somebody
they
takes that little hole to try to flip it
right
on.
Right, they use the escape. So someone said, is cold approach actually not the same as helping a coward get what they want? That question is not so clear. Is cold approach actually not the same? Is it not the same as
helping a coward get what they want?
Well,
yeah, that needs to be rewritten. I'm not too sure.
I don't know if it's a coward. Maybe it is. I don't know. What Cash just said, you know, he said a lot, walking up to a woman, not knowing how she's going to respond. So it's not comfortable. And women clearly don't want to take that risk. They do sometimes. Even on Facebook, I get inboxes, but I've been approached cold at events by women. I had a woman shove her phone number into my pocket and said, don't take it out till you get home at a club. Well, and it was an interesting night because there were two other women that, it had interest me, and they were, you know, you could kind of, everyone could see that there was an interaction between me and those two women. And this third woman just came and she won. I ended up going out with her because she, you know, they were all equally attractive, right? So, you know, she made a greater effort for it. So the other women were trying to play a little bit too hard, so I didn't want to play the game. And you know, you talk about the shit test. You've heard of the app Clubhouse, right?
I have not, educate me on it.
Okay, Clubhouse is an app. Someone created it, I think, about 2 years ago, and it's an app that they created for celebrities so that celebrities could virtually engage their audience. It's only audio, no video. And so you put the app on and they only made it for iPhones and iPads. So if you put the app on your iPhone, you go into Clubhouse and they have rooms set up. So there could be a room for Jennifer Lopez. There could be a room for Halle Berry, you know, or any other male, entertainer, celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
And you could invite or up to 5,000 people could come into your room. And if you allow certain people what they say on the stage, they can ask questions and interact. But the other people are only listening, right? So that's what they made Clubhouse for. So it's now spilled over into the general population, and people are having conversations about relationships and buying real estate and just business, everything, you know, even crazy hood stuff, right? So, but that's what it's being used for. So last week, someone asked me to come into one of the rooms, and the topic was about men who like to shit test women. And I said, I'm declining. I'm not going into that room. I said, if a woman has to do a shit test on a man, it's a sign that she's incompetent because she doesn't know how to assess a man who's right. So she's got to play games to try and figure. She has no way of reading and understanding the man, so she has to play a game. And a lot of men agree to it. Now men are doing it back to women. And so I was invited.
And they're getting angry, right?
Right. And so I was invited to come in and to talk, hear the men talk about why they shit test women. And I said, I don't want to be part of that. That's really just incompetence. Those men need to develop their minds so that they can be able to better assess women and know who's in front of them. Because basically that's just going to be a shit test relationship until it blows up. They're going to be playing games until it just falls apart, and they'll never understand why. They'll just point the finger at the other person and it's also an example of men following women. That's another problem. When men allow themselves to be led by women, then you have to play these kinds of games. And that's really what's happened in the dating world also, right? So if we get it back to the topic, men have allowed themselves to be led by women and let women make all the rules and tell you what to do and what you can't do. And men have just gone along with that. And that's how we've gotten here.
It's terrible, man. It's terrible. I'm glad that this is a topic that is expanding on a global level. I really would like for all content creators to be able to have a massive, Skype call, or whatever platform possible that could hold us, like that we could come to a clear understanding and unification in order to hold the line. Because when men come together and hold the line and set a standard, we're able to fix things. This has gone on far enough. And we're seeing what happens. Look what Kevin Samuels said on the Joe Budden's podcast. You have a lot of women not coming into engagements with men, interactions with men in good spirit. People are not getting together. I'm more than likely not going to have children in this existence, but I know plenty of other men and women who would like to have children, but based on the behaviors, all that's going on is a massive birth decline. And then also these women constantly talking about that they don't need men and degrading men, but then they want to get all these programs to help them with housing created and provided by men. They want to get all this public assistance provided by men. Really, this is men who have passed all these pieces of legislation like that. They could get their Section 8, their WIC, all that. You'll have women working at the offices, yes, but these women, they didn't pass the legislation. They might have voted for it, but they weren't there to help draft the legislation. So it's ridiculous already.
So I want to take that in a second. Because that's a valuable conversation. I want to respond to this. So he explained what he meant by the coward and cold approaching. He said, I'm referring to women as being the cowards and men cold approaching as helping them to get the men.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, okay. I mean, women have been told that it's not their job. It's what I was saying earlier, right? So men are held to all the 1950s standards that men had before, and women, they've selected things, right? So in the 1950s, women didn't approach, so they don't approach now. But you know what? If you go back far enough, women had clear ways of letting a man know she was interested, which meant she had to be responsible. One was she drop her handkerchief and you pick it up, and that meant she wanted to engage you. That was a clear way, and it was a responsible and more of a feminine way of a woman letting a man know I'm interested. And women want to have they're like, well, you're a hunter and you should just chase me and come get me so I can feel good about myself, and I don't have to do anything. And when a woman says a relationship should be effortless, it means that she shouldn't have to make any effort and you should do it all. So that becomes hilarious, right? But he said also, same guy said, did you say women want to be known if a man wanted sex? Then how come a girl flipped out when I drew up a sex timetable for her? So I don't know the whole story, but a lot of times if you take away a woman's control over sex, she has no leverage. So if you put a timetable down and say, here are the days we're going to have sex, the days of the week, she can't play a game. Like, she now has to be responsible for something. That means on Thursday, she's got to show up to have sex. And what she'll say is, oh, that's too much pressure and I can't do that. And you're trying to force me. She'll make all those excuses. Women just, we've allowed women to two things, no consequences. And if you don't have to have consequence, if there are no consequences for you, that automatically lets you know you don't have to be responsible. So, you know, a guy I went to college with, he's got a daughter who's in college now, but he told me, he said, if I would have had a son, he said, I would have been punching him in his chest all the time so he would know consequences, right? That you don't do stupid things and you don't. I said, so why didn't you do that to your daughter? He said, no, you can't do that to her. I said, why not? I said, how is she ever going to understand consequences? I said, what you're saying is men should understand consequences and women should have no relationship to them. You enforce consequences with your son and you let your daughter just run free and never understand consequences. And it's like, I think it hit him like a ton of bricks. Like, what did I do then? How have I set my daughter up? I said, you set her up. Yeah, I said, you set her up to only deal with men who will never hold her accountable for anything. So those are going to be sucker dudes. And he said, oh, my God, that's who she brought home from college, some weak-minded dude. So here's something. So when I hear guys say, women vote for things. I sent you something for a Princeton study. Did you get to look at that?
I did not get to look at
that. Oh, man.
Okay. I'm going to check it out.
No. I'm going to do a screen share right now. And I'm going to play it's like 3 minutes long. Let's see. I can pull it from... And I'm showing this. So men have
for the last few years, I've had.
I'm showing this so men have a very different relationship to legislation, and I'm asserting. And if we look at laws that have been passed, like women now, I think they have to register for selective service, and if you look at Texas and the new abortion law. I just did a show on that, I think, Friday. This video is going to kind of lay out why these things are happening. I'm asserting we are in a historical moment of a turning, a tipping point. And men don't see it. COVID is also, just think, last year for 2020, 900,000 women left the workforce. They left. Well, partly for COVID, the other part is because the schools were closed and they had young kids and they had to stay home, right? So there were married women who became closer to their spouse because they finally realized how much they needed their spouse. So I'm going to do a screen share and I'm going to play this video and I want you guys to just listen to this.
For the last few years, I've had this sense that everything I learned as a kid about how America's government works is completely wrong. But I had no idea how bad things actually were until I saw this one graph. Researchers at Princeton University looked at more than 20 years worth of data to answer a pretty simple question. Does the government represent the people? Now, this is what they found. This axis here represents public support for any given idea. On the left, at 0%, are ideas that not a single American wants. On the right, at 100%, are ideas that everyone supports. This axis represents the likelihood of Congress passing a law that reflects any of these ideas, from a 0 to a 100% chance. On this graph, an ideal republic would look like this. If 50% of the public supports an idea, there's a 50% chance of it becoming law. If 80% of us support something, there's an 80% chance. You get the idea. Now, most Americans would probably agree that, with a few exceptions, we should be as close to this ideal as possible. Unfortunately, the way America actually works doesn't even come close. Take an idea that nobody supports, literally nobody, and it has about a 30% chance of becoming federal law. Now, take an incredibly popular idea, the most popular idea this country has ever seen, and there's also about a 30% chance of it becoming law. This means that the number of American voters for or against any idea has no impact on the likelihood that Congress will make it law. Put another way, and I'm just going to quote the Princeton study directly here, the preferences of the average American appear to have only a minuscule, near zero, statistically non-significant impact upon public policy. So if you've ever felt like your opinion doesn't matter and that the government doesn't really care what you think, well, you're right.
Like that I'm going to play the rest of it, but you really have to get what he just said. Like, as much as people vote in public opinion, it has a minuscule impact on legislation. And this is what men need to understand this. This is technically, this is very good news.
But there's a catch. This flat line only accounts for the bottom 90% of income earners in America. Economic elites, business interests, people who can afford lobbyists, they get their own line. Look at how much closer their line is to the ideal. When they want something, the government is much more likely to do it. And when they don't, they have the power to completely block it from happening, no matter how much the rest of the country supports it. They get what they want, and guess who ends up paying for it? We pay for it with the most expensive healthcare in the world. We pay for it with a tax code that's a complete mess. We pay for it with internet that's slower and more expensive, with wasteful spending, a floundering education system, a catastrophic drug war, and 1 in 5 American children born into poverty. Almost every major issue we face as a nation can be traced back to this graph. How does this happen? Well, just follow the money. For the last few years, I've had this sense that everything I learned as a kid about how America's government works is completely wrong. But I had no idea how bad things...
His last sentence was follow the money. Men can understand that. Then you can begin to understand why a law was passed in Texas for abortion that says if a woman is past 6 weeks, she cannot get an abortion. And women are against it. They are completely against that law. So if you follow the money, it's not women who voted for that. If you look at the selective service, women have to vote. Common man just said, well, they're not going to put women on the front line. Okay, that's a good statement. That's very relevant to this conversation. Except you better believe women didn't want that law to pass. So who's making this happen against what women actually want? Bette Midler is telling women to go on a sex strike and stop having sex with men until they reverse that law in Texas about abortion. And that women are not going to care. Women are going to keep having sex, and they'll drive 600 miles to go to Oklahoma to get an abortion because if they're past 6 weeks, because they can't get it in Texas. If they're 6 weeks or less, they'll get it in Texas. So if you follow the money, I bet companies like Procter & Gamble that sell pregnancy tests, their sales are going to go through the roof. Why? Mm-hmm. Because women will want to know if they're pregnant before 6 weeks so that they can start getting the abortion before that. And just think of anything that women may buy more. Now, here's the other thing that no one gives a damn about what women think. Amongst the white, if you look at the population in Texas, in 2020, 41% white, 39% Hispanic. That means in a short time, in a nanosecond, the population is going to be more Hispanic than white. And that trend is going to go through the entire United States. And the white population doesn't want that to happen. So they passed the law saying, you're going to have those damn babies. You're going to have them. So there, if you follow the money, someone is more interested in women having children, and they have more power than women who want abortion. So if men think about that, it means that men can literally pass laws if men organize, right? So either you are a wealthy family, a large landowner, or a large corporation, and you hire lobbyists. There's another, it's called a PAC, a super PAC, public interest. There can be a public interest for men that come together. Oh, right, that's right, Common Man, exactly. Birth control is also going to go up, right? So women, if they can't get an abortion in 6 weeks, they're going to just, a lot of women are going to start being responsible and go on birth control. So that's the other one. Thanks for reminding me. So follow the money, right? And I understand that you could say, well, if the white population goes up, so will the Hispanic. They don't get as many abortions. And so will blacks. They do get a lot of abortions, but their population is 12%. It's like irrelevant. In about 30 years, the United States is going to become Latin America. And if you don't speak Spanish, you're going to be in trouble in the United States. That's what's going to happen. You're going to have more leaders, more CEOs of large organizations who are Latino. That's going to change culture. And you're going, once you start having a Latino president of the United States, it's going to be hard to reverse that. And that's going to change a lot of things in the country. So the real point I'm making is that if men can leverage, this is a tipping point. And Common Man, you brought up a great thing about the military. I did a show about Afghanistan and saying that do Afghan men have a better understanding of female mates, of women, right, and how to manage relationships with women. Afghan men are telling women to get out the workforce, go home, and let men have the jobs. And if you think about that, right, if you served in the military, why should you come home and be unemployed and live on the street? I mean, that's crazy, but we do that. We've been doing that for decades. Yeah. And so I think men can actually hire lobbyists, write legislation that says it is mandatory. This is a matter of national security. And if you look at what China's doing to enforce masculinity, it is a matter of national security that we take care of our men. If you are trained to be a combat soldier in any foreign branch of the military, you should get first right to a job, even if a woman is in that job. We should be able to literally fire women and put men in those. Women do want to be in the military. They have to be trained to be on a front line. That means you have platoons of female only that go out and fight just like the men, just with women only, entire platoons. Then they can have the same rights as men. If you're support, if you're just a cook, if you're the IT woman, you may know how to use a gun, but you are support. You are not there for combat. You don't get the same rights as the men who put their lives on the line. If men were to get that kind of legislation, and you also, here's the other thing you want. You want to say, If women want to be in the military, cool, I'm all for it. But they have to meet the same exact standards as men, because this is now a matter of national security. And we start lowering the bar, then we lower the effectiveness of our military. If women want to join just to be support staff, then there's a lower bar and there are lower benefits for them. But those who go in to fight full-fledged combat, they get the highest honor. And when they come home, but see, this is common, man. I'm saying men can actually write legislation. You pay lobbyists. You pay you don't ask them. You pay the lobbyists. China just did this by saying if you attack an Asian, it's a hate crime. They didn't ask the government to do it. They went to lobbyists, wrote the law. If the Selective Service was just changed for women to register for it, it can happen. And I just played that video. Princeton just told you laws, policies are not enacted because people, most people want it or don't want it. It's because you strategically, you utilize the system. The system is already in place. You don't have to go out and protest and fight and burn down buildings. You strategically do exactly what wealthy families, large landowners, and large corporations do. And we put this under a national security because China is getting rid of anything that's not masculine for men. It's being thrown out. And they're going to teach boys how to be masculine. That China has 100-year plans, and their 100-year plan is coming to an end, I think, in 2054. And you better believe they are thinking about being a global superpower with global domination. See, the people of European descent here in the U.S., they play the game of chess. And in chess, you want to get the king. If you can knock the queen off the board, then you could possibly make it easier to get to the king. Well, China's not playing chess. They have a game called Go. And Go is about acquiring the most real estate on the board. And China's doing that. They're making loans all over the world and saying, hey, if you can't pay, don't worry. We're okay. We'll still be your friend. We just want this section of the country to belong to us when you can't pay. We want to own your country. This is national security. And I'm saying men can get a law passed that, and if women don't like it, listen, women have had training wheels for decades. They have education, they have work experience, they can go build their own General Motors and compete in the global marketplace and let the marketplace decide who has the better product or service. And they can all have high salaries just like they want, and they can work, they can take all the sick leave they want, they can be single mom, they can do all that, but let them compete. And we need to stop putting veterans on the street as homeless men, because we're doing that way too much. So, and I'm saying that is a first step. And I'm saying with Selective Service and this new abortion law that the Supreme Court won't touch, and eight other states are probably going to follow Texas in that abortion law, I'm saying that men, we have a better chance. 900,000 women left the workforce. This means that men have to put their money where their mouth is. Last night, Cash, you were talking about men coming together, uniting, but you have to have a vision. Like, you have to have this one flag you're saluting to. And what I'm suggesting could be one thing, right? It's to enact legislation that protects men, because men are unprotected now. If you can get that one thing, then you can start looking at other things.
Yeah, because, Ted, I'm going to tell you, I kept my mouth closed, but as quiet as it kept, China does officially own property, and they the number one shareholder right here in the United States, man. You speaking facts, and that is a national security issue. But, like I say, the power to be, they involved in it too, Ted. All the big players got their hands involved in it. So I just keep my mouth shut.
Country belongs to the people, though.
Right.
You just have to understand how the system works. Right. And Cash, you're writing down stuff, so I'm going to shut up. That was my platform, part of my platform for this show. Go ahead.
That's what I would say. That's been part of my disappointment within the manosphere, because what we have seen is a lot of critique and a lot of unnecessary competition. Blatant default competition is just like, all right, we're on sports teams, or you and I don't know each other, and you open a trucking company or a taxi cab service. I do as well. We don't know each other. The blatant competition would be, okay, let the people choose whose services they prepare, which barbers do people prefer, pardon me, prepare, prefer, which barbers do people prefer as well, right? But one thing I did want to bring up was as an example, because there are things I disagree with, but also a lot of things I do agree with both ABBA and Preach and Fresh and Fit. But I want to say that ABBA and Preach, they did throw the first stone in the sense that they made a video responding to an episode, but kind of like poking fun at Fresh and Fit. And in my opinion, which I'm sure plenty of men do agree, because that's in the comments this was, it's like that should have been spoken about as men, amongst men, behind the scenes. I'm not going to have you on my show said, or me be on your show, and then me, you know, a month or two down the line, they'll respond to it and say, oh, you see when Ted said that? That sounded kind of dumb. Ha, ha, ha. Because regardless whether it's only focused on the content, you're still being disrespectful to each other and creating some type of hostility. Now, you have guys that will say, oh, but these guys, that drama caused them to get more viewership.
Exactly.
It did, but it also caused a lot of division, and both sides lost subscribers as well, where I think we would have more growth and subscribers and viewership is not about being yes men, but us agreeing, how you said it, we all find common ground to be able to agree on that it's women who have created such horrible, you know, such a horrible, pardon me, dating environment, while having such unrealistic standards from men, while we try to be as accepting as possible towards them. I use myself as an example. When I was with this gorgeous girl, and the one thing that we had a disagreement on, now she's ready to cut me off. She didn't take into consideration that I made reservations, didn't take into consideration how well I was treating her, didn't take into consideration that I made sure to drive her home. I didn't tell her, oh, you know, fuck you, catch a cab, blah, 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 or nothing. Didn't take into consideration. I called her the next day and apologized on my behalf. I was willing to make things work, right? So we as men have to come and agree. What are we taking shots at each other for? What are we trying to compete with each other for in the manosphere? You guys want to compete with each other? Have a basketball game or a baseball game. Get on Call of Duty or whatever and compete with each other there. Right now we're facing an issue. This issue does not need conflict. George Washington, Thomas Paine, Jefferson, John Adams, Samuel Adams, Benjamin Franklin, they weren't competing against each other. They all came together for a common issue. Paul Revere. They realize, hey, something bad is going on here. And if we don't come together and try to get our fellow men together, we're going to face a serious issue. You know, when they were at Valley Forge, I believe it was, a lot of men were unhappy with what was going on, that they were getting sick and dying, and they wanted to take it out on George Washington, and they were planning to assassinate him. What George Washington did when he found out from his team members, like those who held positions of rank, that there was going to be a coup held against him, he listened to these guys. He listened to them, let them vent their frustrations, and thought, what can we do to repair this? Because we share a common enemy right now. If we come here and kill each other, guess what? Those who survive are going to have less allies against the real enemy. And I don't want to say that women are our enemy, but unfortunately, their actions, their conduct, their requirements from us, the things they demand from us, are way too extreme. And that makes them out to be the initiators of this hostile environment that is causing so many problems today. All this gun control, these higher taxes. You and I, if we want to get an apartment in a building, we got to pay a higher cost. But if a woman has Section 8, because, you know, by default, just for them being women, they get put on the highest level of consideration for Section 8.
Right.
They cause the housing to go up. It's all been with them. So we got to come together and say, it's not that women are our enemy, but their conduct, their actions is our enemy. So we cannot be here trying to compete with each other, critiquing each other, bashing each other when we share a common issue. We need to unite. That's what we need to do. And it takes respect. It takes humbling ourselves. It takes having clear communication. Look tonight, guys that called in, I'm sure guys in the comment section agreeing. It's not about yes men. When there's a blatant issue about, there is no yes men. If you and I see a building on fire, it said, we're not yes men for agreeing, hey, that building is on fire.
Right.
That's what we need, because if we can manage this unity, and I want to give a shout out to Texting Prince. He has this video called the 10-year MGTOW prediction. Texting Prince on Instagram. But check out his video on YouTube, Texting Prince, the 10-year MGTOW prediction. If we all come together, stop going clubbing so much, stop inviting women out to dates. Well, if we all come together and say, yeah, even if we cold approach women or whatever, we invite them out for walks rather than dates, we can fix all these things.
Or the walk is the date. Like,
yeah, exactly.
That's what a date is only about, two people getting to know one another more so they can decide how to move forward.
Because again, along with like the issue with Fresh and Finn, Abba and Preach, I've been seeing like a lot of man bashing within the manosphere. A few content creators were on live. I don't want to say no names, but they know who they are. And they have humbled themselves ever since then. Bashing on the men. Bashing other men who are going through hardships right now. You know who's been my biggest donator to? This fat guy. I'm not going to be here and say you guys are losers because you're overweight. You guys are losers because you're not making six figures. This fat guy who's not a six-figure earner yet, he's been my biggest donator. And I thank him every time that I can. Hey, thank you. I appreciate that a lot. He doesn't need to hear, oh, you ain't shit, blah, blah, no. He needs to hear positive reinforcement because eventually what will happen is he'll get to the point that he's feeling so good about himself that I can map him out a small routine. Hey, today, do 3 sets of 10 push-ups, do 3 or 4 sets of curls, and then just rest and stretch and go for a walk, and we'll continue building from there. He doesn't need to hear any type of bashing. He doesn't need to be put down. And that's what I'm tired of, what's going on in the manosphere. People want to call me overly empathetic or sensitive. No, I believe in encouragement. I believe whoever you help today will be the person that helps you tomorrow. You know how many times I've had people in my job, hey, you might not remember me, but you were nice to me not that long ago. Here's $10. I get my car washes for free. Why? I was nice to a guy who was sad, who happens to be what? The owner of the car wash. I listened to him. I wasn't there. Oh, what are you sad about?
Right.
You know, and that's what we need. We need encouragement. We need unity. We need respect. all this competitiveness, all that ego, there's a time and place for that, and this ain't it. Because right now, women are turning the world against us. The suicide rates of men are through the roof, and thank God, yeah, women outnumber men. But guess what? They're going to continue to vote since they outnumber us. They're going to continue to vote for more gun control, higher taxes, because these higher taxes will come from the programs that benefit them, right? And then we're the ones who got to pay for it. They're going to vote for more emasculation. They're the ones who, oh, make sure you have your mask on. It's them infringing on our liberties. We got to come together. I don't want any more man bashing.
Well, see, I played that video. It's not that women vote, because the Princeton study is finding that it doesn't matter what the vote is. What women do is they put together PACs. They put together public, they put together and they put money together. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they vote or not. It's been let they hire lobbyists to write bills, to write legislation. That's what men have. It doesn't matter. That the Princeton study is showing it doesn't matter what the public thinks. It doesn't matter what women want. However, if women come together and put money behind what they want and they hire lobbyists, then the bills get passed. And so men have to stop saying they don't have power against women, because the system is in place. Women are using it and men are not.
Exactly. So that proves my explanation here. Pardon me to interrupt you again. Women come together.
Right.
No matter what. That's what we need to do. And we're not going to come together. I'm not saying, I've never seen you do it, thank God. And you know, I don't do it either. But I've seen other content creators. And that's why I use the Abba and Preach against Fresh and Fit as an example, because that was something that went completely wrong, you know, and it could have been handled way better. And I'm a fan of both. There are things that I agree with. There are things I disagree with, but it definitely could have been handled better on all sides. And I'll be the first one to say, Abba and Preach threw the first stone unnecessarily for no reason. Did Fresh and Fit react in a very hostile manner as well? Of course they did. You know, both sides were wrong, but he who throws the first stone has to be willing to accept anything that could come out of it, regardless of the suggestions. Oh, you should have just kept it content to content. Hey, they did feel betrayed.
So there's a lot of propaganda that gets thrown in our faces. So, what I'm going to say, I can't prove it, but I'm questioning whether OnlyFans started putting out all this press that in October they were going to go to a family-only channel, right? And that created a big stink. So in some ways it was negative publicity, right, with a positive spin on it. And I bet their subscriptions went up. I bet it, because it put them. And what it did is they put an article out, and then people started talking about it. And now you have free publicity for OnlyFans. And then they said, oh, we changed our mind. We're going to reverse. I'm asserting they were never going to do a family thing. It was just a way to get free publicity, get people talking about OnlyFans, drive up subscriptions. But they created drama.
Yeah.
And I'm relating this to what you're saying about these guys. So here's the second. I know these two women, they're sisters. There are seven, I think there are seven sisters, and these are the two youngest ones. And they were out at a restaurant, and someone who does reality TV said, you all, and these two women are close. They are very close sisters. They're from another country. They came here. I think only three of the seven came here. So they have a close bond. And some producer of a reality TV show said, I'd like to have you two on our reality TV show. We'd have great ratings and it will be about this, this, and this. But you have to have conflict between the two of you. The way you two are so close, is not going to sell. I need drama and we need if you do this reality TV, we're going to intentionally create conflict. And the two of them told me that they were like, hell no, I don't care what you pay us. We're not going to do that. So not interested, right?
Props to those particular ladies. But I do my best to give women credit when they do deserve it.
Do you understand the point I'm making?
I do understand the point that you're making. The point that I was getting to with my explanation was, well, all this man bashing going on in the manosphere and all that, was that with ABBA and Preach against Fresh and Fit, it caused a lot of division. When if you look at the episode that they had ABBA and Preach on, and then they had ABBA on when they brought the girls about, and the men maintained unity, they were able to show a lot of women. They held a mirror to women's faces and were like, do you see the ridiculousness in what you're saying? ABBA told these girls and Fresh and Fit, they agreed and were able to co-sign on it. You ladies want a man making all this money. Why don't you play your part to help him get there? You ladies really think that a man who's making $30,000, $40,000, or $50,000 a year can't show you a good time? Of course he could. Why you want to go on vacation so much? And what are you contributing to help grow that as well? Because if you're just showing up and being pretty, guess what? What happens if another girl comes along or he gets tired of you and he sees you're more of a liability rather than an asset? That unionship that they had there was amazing. So then later on, again, in this particular what I say, environment that we're in, if you and I see a building that's on fire, the last thing we need to be thinking about is, oh, who has the better bucket to put the fire out? No, let's grab our buckets and put this fire out.
Right, right.
You get me?
Right.
So that's what it is, because, you know, if we don't come together the way women come together, as you explained, they create pacts and all that, in which they're able to contribute to how legislation
exactly
is constructed, drafted, and executed upon.
Exactly.
If we're not able to do that, we're going to be the losers in the long run. So I'm not here to compete with you, Chad. I'm not here to compete with Kevin Samuels, with Coach Greg Adams, with Fresh and Fit. I'm not here to compete with nobody. What we need is collaboration. We need unity. And that's how we're going to win the biggest battle that we're facing now, and it's the war on us men.
Well said. So TJ asked the question, he's in Great Britain, and he asked men protecting from what you mentioned once. So let's go down the list. Most of the homeless, in the United States is the first country in the world where more boys than men are raped and molested than girls and women. And a lot of these boys are being raped by adult females. But we don't call it rape. We just say he's being lucky. So if a 13-year-old boy is having sex with a 25-year-old woman, we say the boy is lucky. But when a 13-year-old girl is having sex with a 25-year-old man, we say it's rape and he should be locked up immediately and never let out. Pedophiles. So first you have more boys than men being raped. And I actually did a show on a guy who was 13 having sex with a 25-year-old woman. Now he is serving time in some kind of corrections facility for sexual offenders. And he doesn't know when they're going to ever let him out because they don't know if his behavior is corrected. And the reason he became a sexual offender is he was raped, having sex with an adult female, and his whole idea about sex was completely skewed and found himself being an offender. So we don't account for that, the amount of times that happened. Women only, the way you hear it in the U.S., men and boys are never raped and molested, it's only girls. And so either we're going to deal with the whole thing or we're going to keep allowing women to rape boys, and we're seeing more and more of these school teachers. And it's amazing. Some of these women are attractive. Like, you would think they would, it would be easy for them to find a man, but they're having sex with a 13-year-old boy, right? Here's another thing these boys need protection from. Real case, woman has sex with the boy when he's like 14 or 15. As soon as he turns 18, she takes him to court for child support.
Mm-hmm.
And she's financially raping him. So he's not protected from that. So she raped him, got pregnant, and then went after his money as soon as he turned 18. And boys are not protected. Men are not protected. You know, at 18, he's not protected. But let me go ahead, Kendrick. But I really want to finish this, but you got to make it quick.
Let me interject real quick. So that's my thing. What the hell does a 30-some-year-old grown woman look like messing around with the underage boys? Explain that psyche to me.
Yeah,
they are doing that, and then they're going undercover with it. You see what I'm saying?
I understand. I'm not trying to have answers, but I'm answering a question. He was asking, why are men? What do men need protection from? So that's one. They're being raped and molested. The majority of homeless people are men. The majority of people, victims of violent crimes, are men.
And to add to that real quick before anybody says, oh, but it's men against men, a lot of times too, women are the ones setting these guys
absolutely
up to violently attack. I've seen it happen plenty of times. A girl will come, ask the guy for the time, whatever, and then she's got assailants, or even with theft, there's a group of girls, blah, 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 they'll come and hug a guy, hit his pockets, and all that.
Right, right. So to add to what you said, over 85% of men in prison come from a single mother household. So
mm-hmm.
single mothers are raising criminals. And then so the majority of people in prison are men. And the majority of them, the overwhelming majority of them, come from a single mother household. So single mothers are manufacturing prisoners, criminals. The majority of high school dropouts are men. And here's a quick thing that we don't talk about in the United States. If you want high school students to major in math and science, it costs money to get those boys to major in math and science and engineering. Well, for every dollar it costs to get a boy to major in math, science, and engineer, it costs $5 to get a girl. So imagine if you only have a $100 budget, you can get 100 boys to go through math, science, and engineering. If you want to get, and you still have the same $100 budget, you can only send 20 girls through that program. So that now you start to see why our education system is falling apart, because we're trying to force girls to go into math and science, and it costs more to do that, which means we have less money to get boys through, and now we have a deficit in the country for math and science. We're taking money from other school districts and putting it in certain others. So the whole thing is collapsing because we're trying to force women to be equal to men. What else do we put? Those are some things that where men are not being protected, and women are saying, well, it's a patriarchy. Well, it's the top 1% of men that are driving policy and legislation. The other, let's say, 95% of men are not doing that. They have all these other things that are happening. And according to women, you would think it's 99% of men doing this. And here's the irony. That 1% of men, women will reward those men with sex gladly. And those are the men, if there's something called oppression, it's coming from the 1% who women are chasing, who will shamelessly chase.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Is it patriarchy? when guys like you and I, we were to go to a Section 8 office to try to get some type of assistance for housing while we aspire to grow our income more to eventually get off it. But then a female shows up who more than likely is looking to leverage that for the rest of her life while working off the books. If she decides to work,
right.
Is it patriarchy then? Is it patriarchy when you have these men plowing the snow or during like the hurricane that passed recently, that they're making sure that everybody is safe and trying to provide assistance to those stuck in water or whatever? Is it patriarchy then?
Or and women, all those dangerous jobs where men lose their lives, women don't want those jobs. And
they
so,
don't want those jobs. Is it patriarchy then? Is it patriarchy when we work in sales, for example, and if a hostile male or female shows up, is expected for the men to go handle it? Is it
right.
patriarchy then?
Right.
Is it patriarchy that women get all the easy jobs that pay great money, or these pen and paper pushing jobs and all that, but then we go out on a date, they're not even willing to leave a tip? Is it patriarchy then?
You know, in Sweden, I think it's a cultural policy. From the first date, there's no such thing as a man pays for the dates. The woman pays her way. Sweden is one of the most egalitarian societies on the planet. And they've been trying to prove if you give women the equal opportunity as men that they will excel and pat. And it's proving to be a lie. All the opportunities they give to women, the women still go work in healthcare and social science, you know, sociologists, you know, social workers, that thing, psychologists. They work with people, and men go work with things. They go work with engineering. They work with finance and investment banking, and those men still go do those things. And women still go work in healthcare and other things. So as much as they tried to enforce equality, the women didn't take it. They wouldn't do it.
I'm very upset with Orange Man about a lot of things. But right here, we'll use this sound clip. You see, we try to give women equality and all that. And what did they show us? That is a bunch of... They don't want it.
So you know, if we take it back to the topic, should men pay? I'm not suggesting that men go on strike. I'm suggesting that men think about what dating is really about. So if it's just about a pump and dump and that's the kind of guy you are and that's the way you want to play, you know what? You're probably going to take a woman out on an expensive date. And you're looking to get laid, and that's it, and it's over. And the woman shouldn't be disappointed about that. But if you're a guy looking to have a serious relationship, you need to make it clear to the woman, I'm interested in you, and right now I'm just getting to know you. And what I'd like to do is to do exactly that. So speaking to you on the phone, texting, it's cute, but I want to be able to sit in front of you, walk in front of you. I want to see your body language. I want to see how you know, how we vibe together. And I just want to go for a walk. I don't even need a picnic. We can go for a drive in a car, but I want no distractions. I don't want movies. I don't want amusement parks, concerts, none of that stuff. This is about you and I getting to know one another to see if we're actually I want to qualify you. I want to see if you're really qualified to be by my side. I don't know. You know, what you're showing me seems like you are, but I need to see if you're the real deal. And I want to do it without any distractions. Yeah, to get to know what I'm dealing with, right? That's what you want to know. You want to know. Do I? And as a woman, you should want to do the same thing so that you don't say 6 months, 12 months down the line, he changed. I'm going to give you every opportunity to ask me anything you want to see if there's a match. And the sooner you and I know we're not a match for one another, then the less likely we're going to waste our time and the better chance we have of finding someone who is compatible with us. No, hey, the big exclusive. No, I'm see, women won't ask a man out on a date. So by default, they won't, you know, this whole thing, whoever asks one out, women just avoid that. That's a man's job. And yes, you can tell me about some outlier women who will ask a man out, but that's not even 1% of women. Right, you're right. The question is if majority of women ask men out on dates. No, I don't know if you're just coming in the big exclusive, but the point we were getting at here is women hold men to 1950 standards, traditional man standards, and women find it insulting, oppressive, misogynistic if a man holds a woman to 1950 standards. Because if it was 1950 standards, the most you'd be taking her out for is ice cream, maybe a movie, but you really would be sitting on her front porch getting to, you'd be getting to know her, and she would cook a meal for you to show. Mm-hmm. And you know, to what Cash was saying, I heard you saying a woman who nurtures like your mother, but that could give women the wrong impression. Men don't want their mother. They want a
woman. No, we don't want a mother.
They want a woman who cares about. Want to see, like, we know our, shouldn't say, for most guys, you have the experience your mother cares about. Some guys don't have that experience. But for, let's say, most guys, they have the experience that their mother really cares about them.
Yeah, we want a woman who's compassionate, understanding, forgiving, and what's the other word I'm looking for? Cooperative.
Caring and cooperative, right? Because if you're considering to have children, the last thing you want is to have children with a woman who doesn't care. If she can't if she can't show care towards you, why do I think she's going to magically show care for the children? And that means the children, they're going to go through this abusive life, whether she does it like in a sneaky way, but she's going to end up invalidating children. You don't want that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. A combative woman is horrible. Pardon me to the guy on the phone. I just wanted to say, you know, thank you, Ted, again, because you just proved, you know, why I'm big on details, because when I try to summarize things, people always look for, like, the little hole, whatever, and all that. It's not that we want our mothers the same way women don't really want, like, a father.
Exactly.
Using the examples of, like, what they request and require from us, oh, you got to be able to take care, provide provision and protection the way my father would. All right, so you got to be able to provide compassion, nurturing, understanding and cooperation the way my mother would. Oh, you, how dare you, blah, blah. I don't have that sound by here. But it's ridiculous, man. It's ridiculous.
Go ahead, Kendrick. I want to add something to this.
You both of you brothers were taking the words just right out of my mouth. And if she don't exemplify no type of, I don't want to say your mother per se, but she need to be able to have some of those wifely qualities that your mother had to, and to be able to take care of you and plus take care of the kids to. But it comes from a family-oriented background.
Right,
but if she's not exemplifying those type of traits and characteristics, you don't need to be messing with her. It's just that simple.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And Cash, you mentioned earlier about being an asset instead of a liability.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's where the overwhelming majority of women fail.
Yep.
They have no idea what it means to be an asset. And so, look, common man, I get you. Ask a woman out, take her out on a date. What, right out the gate, she is being a liability. So assets put money on the table. Liabilities take money off the table. And if I'm paying for dinner and there's no return on that, right? So my time and my money is being invested in something that didn't add anything to the table. It just took it off. And you were talking about women saying they want, you know, all these vacations and buy me stuff. That makes me feel special, like you care. That makes you just a flat-out liability.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that I speak to guys about a lot, and this is, I've seen this work with women, and they, those women were masterful at networking. They connected their husband. They networked with other soccer moms, and they found the soccer mom who had a successful husband, and then cooked a great dinner, invited them over. She was the wife was a gracious, compassionate, caring hostess. She bonded with the wife and makes the husband of the other woman feel comfortable. And then the husbands go sit in a room and make a deal.
Mm-hmm.
They go make a deal. You could be an entrepreneur with your own business, or you can be an employee. You're an employee somewhere, and your wife may have just set you up with a guy who's going to hire you and pay you more response. Like or your company goes out of business because of COVID. Your wife calls up Martha because her husband's the president, because your wife's been networking. Your company went out of business on Friday, and on Monday you're working because of your wife's network. That woman is an asset. She's bringing money to the table, and women don't know how to do that. And if men are smart about this, one way you assess a woman is the value of a woman's asset determines what kind of man she's qualified for. So if all the woman knows are people who work at McDonald's at the cash register, and you're a cat, you're an entrepreneur, I don't care what your business is, you're looking for a different demographic. You're looking for a different class of people. So,
and even then, pardon me to interrupt you real quick, even then to provide them extra leverage, you're right, we don't have a great network. How much of a supportive woman, a compassionate woman are you if you don't have a network, you know?
I'm saying if you don't have a network, then you can't be for certain kinds of men. You're mm-hmm. never going to be able to attract them because you, even being compassionate and cooperative, you're not being an asset and bringing money to the table. So if you could be a stay-at-home mom and be more valuable networking. Now, if you have great people skills and don't have a network, you may be worth the investment. But the ideal woman comes from a two-parent household, and the first network she has is her parents' network, her mother's and her father's, and she's bringing that to the table. Listen, man, a woman will share her body with you before she shares her network with you. If she has a valuable network, especially if it's from her parents, yeah. She'll lay down and have sex with you and never introduce you to her network. But if once she thinks you are a valuable guy and she opens up the network, she now has to treat you with all the care and compassion, because if she screws up your head, it's going to screw up the relationship with her network. So she now has to take care of you. So she's going to open the door to her network and let you go in there and go to work, and you're going to come out on the other side with a better lifestyle for the whole, for everyone, right?
Everyone.
So a woman needs to be, this is, so all these women out here just sitting around waiting for someone to take care of them. A woman needs to be developing extraordinary social skills and developing a valuable network that she could plug a man into immediately. Like, once she knows this guy is right, like he's got his head straight, I think this is going to go somewhere. That's one way to show I am an asset, I can open doors. And that's why you see some of these professional athletes get with certain women, because those women come from a family that can open doors for them. There are dudes who are multimillionaires, and they pay matchmakers. They'll pay $100,000 or more for the matchmaker to set them up with a certain family that's connected with certain kind of people. So what I'm getting at is, if men really want to, guys talk about self-improvement, get a hobby, develop your craft. what most people don't see is a lot of these powerful dudes have women in the background weaving a web of a network. And while a man is out rolling up his sleeve doing his thing, his woman is in the background connecting dots and opening doors, and that he didn't have time to do. So she just made life easier for him. If women can understand that, and if men can understand that, then men can put demands on a woman and say, you need to be an asset.
And then we turn. And it's crazy, we've gotten to these times that these are things that have to be frequently discussed and even prayed for.
Hey, Common Man, I'll let you go, Kendrick. Let me say this. Common Man said, has the ability to motivate me as a man. And that is the thing also that I think you're saying, Cash, right? So from the care, from the nurturing, I showed a movie, I think last year, called Pattern. It was from 1956, and it was a great movie because it showed how the wife was that kind of asset and how, like, she stood for her man. Like, it was a movie about business in 1956, and it showed how men function together, how aggressive they can be and interact.
Mm-hmm.
But it showed also the wives that these were compassionate, caring women, right? And this one dude who was an executive, his wife was just, she was extraordinary on knowing how. She that means she had to be smart enough to understand what her husband did. Because she read a report that he wrote, and she understood it, right? So that means your woman not only has to motivate, she has to understand what you do, and be able to brainstorm with you so that you get better ideas just through the brainstorming with her. And that's another asset. So when we look at dating, like, women are not offering this kind of thing. They're just looking for fun and good times. And so now we're talking about ways women can be an asset, and women are not having these conversations. They'd rather bash men for speaking up. But Kendrick, you go. Hey, go ahead and say something. We're going to get ready to close up.
Yes. You mentioned something about a woman with networking would be easier or faster to give you her body tag before she give you access to that network. And I was wondering, can you elaborate a little bit on that out of layman's terms? Because in particular, if you're talking about an heiress or somebody who comes from money, I just need a little bit more clarity on it.
It doesn't have to be a woman who's an heiress. It could be a middle-class woman who comes from a two-parent household, and her parents have a pretty good network. So she's not going to just meet some guy, and she's not going to just bring him home to her parents. If she is not really sure about the guy, and she's definitely not going to introduce that guy to her parents, friends, and business associates. However, she will have sex with that guy before she even introduces him to her parents, and she might even wait until they're engaged before she introduces him to her parents' network. And if she has some high-level people that she met through college or something, she may not be willing to introduce, because she could have sex with the guy, and it could be a one-night stand and she never sees him again. But if she introduces the guy to her valuable network and he screws it up, that could hurt her future. Like, people don't play with their network. Women will have sex or they introduce you to a valuable network.
Well, see, that's what I was saying. Now you see why I was confused, because I'm thinking in my mind, I guess I got that pre-1950s mindset. Somebody who got any kind of networking or come from money in particular, you need to come home and meet my mom and daddy. Y'all need to know each other. Go into the boardroom. Y'all have some cigars, smoke. chill, let that old man know how you getting down with his daughter. You know what I'm saying? But by my understanding, man, that's not what's going on to you.
No, if she brings you into the network of a boardroom, she needs to be very confident of what kind of man you are. And she's probably had sex with you already.
Mm-hmm.
But she wouldn't introduce you, unless she's a woman who's saying, I won't have sex until marriage. That's different. But even then, people are hesitant about introducing you to their valuable network, because if you screw it up, it could mess up opportunities for them. So I'm saying a woman could have sex with you, you could screw up the relationship, and she just cuts ties. But if you screw up her network, you could screw up her future. And you could screw up her ability to be an asset for the right man. So she won't introduce the wrong man to her network. You follow me?
So far, yes. And wow, my man blown, man. I ain't know it was that detailed. I really didn't.
Hey, the big exclusive, the answer is yes. And there are girls who learn this from their mothers. And the best way they learn it from their mothers is they watch their mother do it. And it is a failure to not teach your daughter this information, an absolute failure, because what a lot of mothers and fathers are teaching their daughters is that men are screwed up. They only want one thing. They think with their little head, and men are simple. Women are smarter than them. Like, just, they set their daughters up for failure. But when they tell their daughter, the man you want is the man you can introduce to your network, your valuable network, she's got to have a different criteria for that. Oh, yeah, and I talked about, I'm thinking about men that I know, and, you know, they are consultants, they're business owners, they're executives, and their wives network with soccer moms or other women and find out, you know, they meet those women and say, what does your husband do? What does your husband do? What is your, and they pick and choose the women that they're going to say, hey, you should come over to our house for dinner. And the wife knocks the ball out the park. She's a hostess. She cooks a great meal. And the husbands go, whether they smoke cigars, they go sit down, they talk, and they create a relationship that turns into money. And how does that soccer mom benefit? She opens the door for a big account, and their lifestyle goes up. And she does that several times. It's almost like she's a salesperson. She has to be smart, and she has to understand what her husband does for a living or understand his business. So, yes, mothers should be teaching this.
Yep.
No question. And fathers should be teaching this stuff, too, not just the mother. But what if you see, like, my mother was really good at networking, so I saw this, and my sisters picked that up. Like, I know guys who their fathers were CEOs in Fortune 500, so that's what they did. One guy told me, if my father was a fireman, I just would have became a fireman. Didn't matter what my father did. So your children are going to learn by watching what you do. So good questions coming from the chat.
Mm.
You want to lay out some last words on this, man? We're 2.5 hours into this. So
yeah, so I'll just say this, you know, as we wrap up, fellas worldwide, we're all experiencing issues with women. I hope that way that we will come together. If you are not a content creator, if you're able to donate or share your favorite content creators stuff, like that we could get the message out sooner rather than later. Like that we're able to fix this situation, put this massive fire out once and for all, because we already have all the evidence that it's been nothing but a massive failure. Along with that, we are able to, again, check out the 10-year MGTOW prediction by Texan Prince. in the comment section, I know I'm here because of Cash. Cash referred me over here. Add him on Instagram as well. He's going to know, yo, Cash put me onto that particular video. It is a 10-minute video. It breaks it down. How if we're all able to come together for a common cause, we could fix things quick, very quick. How we agreed tonight, you know, the first date, should just be a walk, getting to know each other and all that. I want unity. I'm not so big on competition unless it's an environment that by default the competition has to be there. Hence again, if it's sports, if it's some different, pardon me, if it's different companies created, but if we're content creators, hey, you just watched Ted Stansel's 7 to 9. Now at 9:30, 10 o'clock, Red Pill Latinos is going to start. Check them out as well. The more unity that we have, the more collaboration that we have.
Absolutely.
The more cooperation that we have, we will fix this a lot faster. That's my biggest thing about tonight.
Cool. Very good. Kendrick, any last words for you?
You brothers, you gentlemen, you said a mouthful, so I just enjoyed it here. You know, I look forward to, I had to subscribe to that gentleman. I forget his name. He Cash somebody, right?
Cash, right. You find him?
Oh, yeah, Cash first. You can add me on Instagram and on YouTube at The Fix for New York. But the Red Pill content in which we discuss more of the stuff about women, Red Pill Latinos. Red Pill Latinos. The first one is more me about talking about the political, because that's the name of my show. It's more on the political side of things, for like the Second Amendment, for housing, for the end of the war on drugs, police reform, things like that. But if you want the Red Pill stuff where we call women out on their nonsense, Red Pill Latinos. You can add me on all those, you know.
Cool.
Thank you so much, but for real. You know, I've watched
you. Oh, no, most definitely.
Great. Finish, Cash.
No, I was going to say, you know, I've watched your channel grow. You know, I've been riding with you for, I think we're about to go on 2 years already.
I appreciate it. Thank you. You've introduced a lot of people to me, so I appreciate
networking.
That.
Networking, exactly.
You. Yeah. You've actually helped me grow and get a lot more listeners and engagement. So, yeah, I appreciate that. So if you're not following Cash, check him out. He puts a lot of good content out on Instagram. I think you're about
at
to do some.
For New York and at Red Pill Latinos.
So, you know, one of the things that I talked about, which was legislation, a lot of guys seem to feel like their hands are tied behind their back and they can't. If you just look at what just happened in Texas and this new abortion law, when you look at the selective service that I think women are going to have to sign up for, it's saying that the scales are tipping and men can actually take advantage of this. And the only way that's going to powerfully and effectively happen is to do what Cash is saying. It's for men to come together for a unified purpose, right? And I gave one example of some legislation that could be passed and when you first hear it, it may sound ridiculous, except, you know, if you go to 1960, who would have ever thought 51% of the workforce was going to be filled with women? What are you going to do with all the men? And that's exactly what happened. So it's policy that's created by men, but you have to understand the system of hiring lobbyists, and you've got to have money to do that. So just want to have a quick response. Do you think women can't network with men? Women could network with men, but she's got to be disciplined, man, you know, because a lot of men are going to hit on her. They may think the wrong thing. So she's got to be disciplined, focused, and understand what you do. And I have met some women who really understood what their men did and didn't cross any lines. And it was smart that I'm thinking of one woman. It was smart she didn't cross line because I actually knew her boyfriend, her fiance, personally knew him. He was a good guy. Some women like to smoke cigars. Some guys like that, some don't, but no matter what, smoke cigars, there's still going to be a difference between men and women. And the way men may talk about sex, just like Donald Trump was talking about women in the locker room and they used that against him. I mean, hell, women talk about sex in the locker room. No one puts them down for that. You were reading an article that executive men and companies are refusing to mentor women, even being alone. That is correct. That a lot of women, the Me Too movement has backfired on a lot of women. Some things handled between men, yes, and that's kind of what I was just saying, right? But men don't want to be accused of any kind of harassment and having their career shut down because a woman made a false accusation.
Yep,
men have different relationships. Yep, you get that. I hadn't even read that, so I addressed that, right? Unspoken, exactly. If all men leave the workforce, the crime rate goes up, more alcoholics, drug addicts. That would be messy. That's not a solution. I gave an example. If I built my own house, why would I let a woman destroy it? Or why would I let my child be a pyromaniac and burn it down? I'm going to provide guidance for my child, just like men need to be providing guidance to women. Women can scream all they want that they're equal, but they're not. Their brains just don't function like ours. And men just need to understand that and be okay with that. And women really do. If you listen to how many women say, I want a man who's a leader. When you peel down the layers, one of the things that they're saying is, as a woman, I get out of control, and I need a man who has an even temperament who can bring me back to stability. And so women look for a man to be a rock they can lean on. They really do. So, and if you call that being toxic masculinity, then embrace it, accept it, and let them call it what they want. But ultimately, the only thing, and as Cash is saying, the only way things get corrected is that men become masculine and say, here's where the lines are drawn, and everything outside of that is unacceptable. And that requires men to unite. It's almost like what you were saying last night. There's an order, right? I forget what word you use, but it becomes like a gentleman's agreement, right? The organized crime have all kinds of gentlemen's agreement that you don't violate, and there are consequences for violating them. So it's that kind of thing. You don't sleep with another man's wife. You tell her to go home to your husband. You know, men can enforce so much, and women will respond to it. They just will. So you guys are great. If you haven't like this video already, like it, share it with everyone. These are conversations that need to be had. If you're not following Cash, follow him. I dropped my Cash App and PayPal's in there. I always appreciate support from you guys. I love the chats, the questions, the engagement, and I really like seeing when you guys engage one another. So, you know, this even can serve as networking for us. Right. So I know Cash, we're doing this because of networking, and I know other people, and I've done shows with them only because of networking. So social media really has set up a platform for men to unify. We don't have to all think alike, but there is a flag you could say we salute to, and there's something we want to get accomplished. And if it's to bring order out of chaos, we can do that. So this was a special Tuesday night for Straight Talk. I appreciate your support and participating, guys. Thanks for joining me. Until I'll be back Friday, and I'll do some YouTube and chill where I like to talk about the intimacy of relationships. love talking about sex, educational, but things that can be somewhat politically incorrect. So I'll be back Friday with something, and look for some more videos from me. And if you haven't joined my Patreon, check me out, because I've got a lot of content there that's never hit YouTube. Have a great evening. Thanks a lot, Cash Man, for supporting me on this. Kendrick, always love that your calls and participation, so thanks a lot. And Common Man, I see you got in here earlier, man. Thanks for joining in. And Common Man, if you haven't hit my bell, if you hit the bell on subscribe, you'll get notifications a lot earlier from me. Good night, everyone. Take care. Enjoy the rest of your week. Bye.